We've been going through the book of 1 Samuel, and it really worked out great where we're at in God's Word for the baby dedication today. Every single baby begins life the same way. How do babies begin life? They begin cute and innocent looking, right? And we got to remember two things, though, as we look at those little cute, innocent babies. We got to remember two things. Number one, every baby is made of the same substance that you and I are made out of, and that is fallen, sinful flesh. Second thing you got to remember is that within every child's heart, this is what the Bible teaches, that within every heart of every child, the Bible says there's a heart there in every kid that is desperately wicked, and in it dwells foolishness. Now, we can't allow looks to deceive us. If you have an infant, and you don't believe me on this, and you feel that your child is a little angel incarnate, I want you to please come back and let's talk again at your child's second birthday, okay? You'll already know by then that what I'm saying is true. They don't call it the terrible twos for no reason, right? And you'll know what I'm talking about. Trust me, when a child is born, and it's a little baby, no parent plans on their child being a rebel. No parent plans for their child to grow up and to do destructive things to themselves or to somebody else. That's not in the game plan when your baby's little. But here's the reality. This is the reality. As a parent, and I'm speaking to myself as a parent of three sons. I got three boys. As a parent, we've got an awesome responsibility to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And if you don't take that responsibility seriously, then your child could end up being a rebellious and an angry teenager, or possibly even an adult that's angry and rebellious. Now, here in our text, chapter 2, the high priest of Israel, he was the chief religious leader at that time, his name was Eli, raised up two sons that were rebels. Now, Eli was in full-time service for the Lord. Eli's children were raised up around spiritual things their whole life. But yet, as you read chapter 2, it's very clear that these boys were rebellious, they were very corrupt, and they were extremely evil young men, raised up around the things of God. Their dad's the high priest, but yet they were just corrupt through and through. In fact, look with me at chapter 2. And notice verse 22. It says, "Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he said unto them, Why do ye such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all this people. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Ye make the Lord's people to transgress." You know, as we read about these boys, we find out they were immoral. We find out they were dishonest. We find out they were disrespectful. We find out that they were leading other people to sin and to disobey God. And you look at that and you think, Eli is the head religious leader at that time. How can this happen? How could this man raise such two ungodly, rebellious young men? Well, can I submit to you, these two boys did not get in that condition overnight. Okay? It wasn't as if they went to sleep one night as angels and they woke up the next morning and they had horns sticking out of their head. Okay? That's not how it happened. As a parent, Eli made some very critical mistakes that cost him dearly. And I'm very thankful that God has placed this story in the Bible so that you and I can learn from Eli's mistakes. You know, as parents, how do we keep from raising a rebel? Well, I don't know of a better place to go than to go here. And from this, what I want to do is I want to take a text that's kind of negative, and I want to turn it around to a positive. And what I want to do is I want to kind of look at Eli's mistakes, but then I want to turn the principles into a positive statement of how that you and I can learn from his mistakes and how that we can keep from raising a rebel. And there are some absolute keys that we get from the story of Eli and his sons. And so I want to give you three crucial principles about raising godly children. Number one is this. Number one, in your handout, as parents, you must take personal responsibility for your child's spiritual training. You must take personal responsibility for your child's spiritual training. Now, go with me to verse 12. Everybody go down to chapter 2, verse 12. It says, now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. And then the next phrase says, they knew not the Lord. Now that's very telling. Isn't this amazing? As I said earlier, church, Eli's the high priest. He's in full-time service for the Lord. These boys are raised up around spiritual things. They're raised up around the tabernacle, which was the place of worship. They grew up learning all these things about serving the Lord, but yet they knew not the Lord. Now, I want to ask you a question. Whose fault was it that they didn't know the Lord? Was it the other priest's fault at the tabernacle? How about the Levites at the tabernacle? Maybe they were a bad influence. No. Whose fault was this? I want you to take your handout, and I want you to go to Ephesians 6:4 in the handout there. And I want you to look at the verse, and I want you to tell me what the key word is in this verse when we're done reading. Okay? It says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What's the key word? Fathers. Circle that word. Circle that word. Fathers is the key word. Now, this tragedy of these two boys must be placed at the feet of Eli. And it appears from the text that Eli was so busy serving the Lord, he was so busy doing his religious duty, that he did not take the time to invest in his sons' lives spiritually. Maybe he thought, like a lot of parents, he thought, well, as long as my kids are around the Bible, as long as they're around spiritual things, they'll be all right. Now, I want you to think about that logic for a minute. As long as they're around the Bible, and as long as they're around church and spiritual things, my kids they'll turn out all right. They'll love the Lord. They'll be Christians, and they'll love the Lord. Well, think about that logic. Think about if you were to walk in a house and they just had a little baby, and you walk in their house maybe to take them a little present for their baby, and you see this humongous aquarium and fish everywhere in the aquarium. And you think, you look at it, and of course you can't miss it, and so you strike up a conversation and you say, oh, so you like fish, huh? And the parent goes, no. No. Don't like fish at all. Well, then what are you doing with that huge aquarium and all that fish? And then the parents' logic is, well, I figure that if my kid is around fish every single day, when he gets older, he'll be able to swim. Okay. That's kind of stupid, isn't it? But that's just about as logical as saying, well, if I keep my kids around the Bible and around spiritual things up there at church, then they're going to turn out to be Christian. And so many parents think, if I take my child to church, or if I drop them off in Sunday school, or if I make them go to youth group when they're teenagers, then they're going to know the Lord and they are going to serve the Lord. That's wrong thinking. It didn't work out too good for Eli. You see, parents, here's the bottom line. You and I, we've got to take an active daily role. By how do you do that? Well, number one, by your godly example as you live out the Bible. But then number two, as you teach your children the Bible. In your handout, it says, you must provide the training. The key word there is training. You must provide the training that your children need to know the Lord, to love and serve the Lord. What does Proverbs 22:6 say? Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Bible gives you that responsibility. We as a church here at Crossroads, we got children's ministries, we got teen ministries. That is a supplement. It's like a vitamin supplement, okay? What we do at church is great in that parents, hopefully it helps you to grow. Hopefully as you come to Crossroads and you avail yourself of the various opportunities that you have here to learn the Bible, it's going to help you grow, it's going to help you learn the Bible, and it's going to maybe give you some tools that you need in raising up your children. But the bottom line is that when it comes to raising up your kids, when it comes to the spiritual training of your children, that is your job. Okay, you cannot lay that at the feet of anybody else. And if our children grow up to be rebels, we cannot blame the church. We cannot blame the youth pastor. We cannot blame the youth group. We cannot blame the pastor of the church. We cannot blame the other kids up there at the church. If our children are rebels, we got to remember one thing. Parents, you are the primary influence in your child's life. And it is your responsibility to use that influence to train your child spiritually. Are you with me this morning? Are you with me? Are you with me? All right, now look, we learn this from Eli. No one's going to do it for you. It is your responsibility. Now, I want you to look at a verse in your handout. 2 Timothy 3:15. Paul writes to Timothy, and he makes this statement to Timothy. Okay, Paul writes to Timothy. Timothy's a godly young man that loves the Lord. And he says to Timothy, Timothy, he said that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And let me ask you a question, church. I know y'all are thinkers. Okay? If as you read that verse, one thing's clear. Timothy got some training spiritually when he was young. And if a child gets the spiritual training when they're young, then what is God's Word able to make them, according to that verse? What does it make them? It's able to make them wise. Now, you look at Timothy, and he was a godly young man. Would you like for your little boy to be a Timothy? Or your girl to be a Timotheus? Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Do you know how Timothy got that way? We know that from a child he learned the Scriptures. Now, you may read that verse, and you may think, well, yeah, Paul must have known him from childhood, and Paul taught him the Bible. Wrong. Paul didn't know Timothy until Timothy was a young adult. So where did he get that spiritual training? If you read 2 Timothy chapter 1, you learn that he got it from his parents and his grandparents. Timothy got spiritual training when he was young, and he got it from his parents and his grandparents. And if we want our sons and daughters to grow up to be like a Timothy, then we've got to understand no one's going to do it for us. We have to provide them the spiritual training that they need. That's what we learn from Eli. Eli failed to do that, and it cost him. Number two, the second principle is this that we learn from Eli. How do I keep from raising a rebel? Number two, refuse the temptation to become a permissive parent. Refuse the temptation to become a permissive parent. As I said earlier, Eli's sons were corrupt. But how did they get to be that way? Did you know the Bible's going to tell you how? Go to chapter 3 and I'll show you. Chapter 3 and verse number 13 is going to tell you how his boys got to be vile and how they got to be corrupt. Look at chapter 3. And verse number 13, and I'm going to show you how it happened. God is addressing here. God is telling what he's going to do to Eli. And he says in verse 13, "For I, God, have told him, Eli, that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity, the sin, which he knoweth." He knoweth. Notice his dad knew about it. "Because his sons made themselves vile." Here's the key. "And he," what? "Restrained them not." Look up here, church. Eli was a permissive parent. He allowed his sons to do evil. Finally, when he's old, he's gray-headed, his kids are grown, he tries to give them a toothless rebuke over in chapter 2. In verse number 23, we read it earlier, where he kind of gives them a rebuke there in verses 23 through 25. But here's the bottom line. He allowed those boys for years to continue in their sin. He allowed it. If I was a parent this morning, I'd be on the edge of my seat listening to every word, because this is a text that's going to help you. You see, the idea of being a permissive parent begins when kids are little. It starts when they're little. "Now, Johnny, you stop that. That's not nice." Oh, I love this one. "I'm going to count to 10. Never understood that. I never have got that. You know, I've never used that one. Because in my mind, it's like, I'm going to give you 10 more seconds to rebel and to defy me, you know. Going to give you 10 more seconds to rebel, but boy, that's it. Then you're going to get it. Here's a microphone. Your child's not supposed to touch it. It's just a little toddler." And that toddler goes. And you go, "No! Don't touch." And what does the toddler do? The toddler goes. And then you do what you just did. That's so cute. He went ahead and touched it anyway. That's cute.
And you take the microphone, put it up high where he can't get to it, and pat him on the head. That was cute.
Do you think that kid knew he was doing wrong?
Oh, yeah.
Can I submit to you, there's nothing cute about rebellion, even if it's a two-year-old. There's nothing cute about rebellion. You know, when you have a face-off with your child, and we all have them, you say, you mean you're a preacher and you have them with your kids? Oh, yeah. You know what I mean by a face-off. You've told them to do something, and they're not going to do it. And when you have a face-off with your child, and it becomes a battle of the wills, you as a parent have a choice. And that is, you either give in to them, you give in to their pouting, their screaming, their crying, they're mad, they're angry, they're hitting things, they're just, you know, throwing a tantrum. You either give in to them and let them have their way, or you be more stubborn than them and you insist that they do right. If it takes 2 hours, you're going to make sure they do what's right. I'm amazed at how many teenagers tell their parents what they're going to do. Now, I'm going to guarantee you something. When a teenager is sassy and disrespectful and bossy and arrogant, I promise you that started in childhood with permissiveness by the parent. Now their kids are teenagers as big as them, and they've lost control, just like Eli lost control. Great statement in your handout you need to get, and it's so simple but so profound. It says in your handout, your children or teens do not know what is best for them. Now, that's why God gave them parents. Listen, as my kids have grown up, let me tell you something right now. My kids thought it was unbelievably logical. They thought it was totally rational and logical to have donuts for breakfast, candy bars for lunch, and ice cream for supper. That just made good sense to them. They don't know what's best for them. Your kid thinks it makes total logical sense to practice on their video game rather than do their homework. Because after all, there's a great career and there's a great future in video game playing. So they think that makes total sense to do that. God gave kids what? Parents. For a reason. Your child doesn't know what's best for them. Your teenager doesn't know what's best for them. To your teenager, it makes logical sense that they should be able to have a curfew at 12 o'clock at night. Or 1 in the morning. That just makes sense. Everybody else is doing it. Kids don't know what's best for them. In your handout, it says, parent, it's your job to discipline your child and control their behavior. You're the parent. It's your job to drive the foolishness out of your child. There's a verse that I want to bring up on the screen, and it's Proverbs 22:15. What does the verse say? Everybody say it together with me. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Whose job is it to drive the foolishness out of their kid? It's the parents' job. And your kid's the same as my kid. It's there. And in your handout is a key statement. And it's probably the key statement in the whole lesson. It must start early. If not, you're going to find out very soon it'll be too late. In your handout, look with me at Proverbs 19:18. Look at it with me. Chasten, that just means to discipline. Discipline your son, chasten thy son while there is what, church? Hope. And let not thy soul spare for his crying. Just because he pouts and cries and screams and yells, you don't give in. No, you don't spare for their crying. You discipline them while there's hope. Look at the next verse, Proverbs 29:17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Did you know kids are supposed to be a delight to their parents? Isn't that's great. Kids are to bring delight to a parent's soul. That's the way it's designed. But the key is at the beginning of the verse. You correct them. And as you correct them, they give you rest, and then they bring delight to you. They're supposed to bring delight to the parent, not be a headache. You know, it's like I tell my kids, you know, you don't want to obey. You don't want to do right. Guess who's going to be miserable? It's not me. If you don't want to do right and you don't want to obey, you're going to be miserable. Not me. Correct your son while there's hope. Refuse the temptation to be a permissive parent. Number three, the last principle I want to share with you from Eli here. And we learned this from Eli. Okay, and I'm going to turn it into a positive here. Number three, never lose your child's respect by indulging their every desire. Never lose your child's respect by indulging their every desire. Now, if you go over to 1 Samuel chapter 2 again, turn back to chapter 2. And as you read down through here, and we did last week, so I'm not going to do it this week, but they were stealing the offerings that God's people would bring. These two boys were stealing God's offerings from people. And you go down to verse 17, look at it. It says, "Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord." And you know what you read as you read this? You know what really hit me as I read this? These boys got whatever they desired, and they expected it. And if people would not give them what they wanted, then you know what they did? Look at the end of verse 16. What does it say? It says, "And if not, I will take it by what?" Fourth, they were, in plain everyday language, these boys were spoiled brats. That's what they were. "I want what I want, and I want it now." They were spoiled brats. And if you go down to chapter 2, verse 29, this is the key. Look at chapter 2, verse 29. God says to Eli, "Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation?" And look at this, look at this. "And honorest thy sons," God said, "above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefest of all the offerings of Israel, my people." God said, "You honor your boys above me, Eli. When they're doing wrong and your boys are dishonoring God with their actions, rather than telling the boys no and God yes, God says, you tell me no so you can tell them yes. It's okay. Go ahead, you can do it." But what ended up happening? Well, he let them have them do whatever they wanted to do. He let them indulge their every desire. And so then the boys are grown. People begin to complain. And it becomes embarrassing to Eli. So now he tries to rebuke the boys. Can I show you what happened? How did the boys respond when dear old dad tries to rebuke them and get them in line? Look at verse 25. He says, "If one man sin against another," this is Eli talking to his sons here, "if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against the Lord," he tells his boys, "who shall entreat for him?" Look at this. "Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father." Do you know what that means? They wouldn't listen to him. It was too late. They had lost all respect for dear old dad. They would not listen to their dad. We don't want to raise up kids who won't listen. We don't want to raise up kids who are disrespectful. But that's exactly what happens when we indulge their every desire. When parents give in to their kids' every whim and every desire, when they refuse basically to stick up to their kids. It's amazing how many parents are intimidated by their own children. They won't stick up to their own kids. They won't make them do right. Well, what ends up happening, we see an example here in the Bible, you end up raising up a rebel who just ends up disrespecting you as a teenager and maybe even into their adult life. But parents, the motto is you got to start early. You got to start early. In your handout, it says you must demand that your children listen. You must demand that your children listen and that they show you proper respect. You cannot afford to raise a spoiled child that's used to getting whatever they want, because it'll end up causing you nothing but grief. I want you to look in your handout at Proverbs 17:25. A foolish son is a what to his father, church? A grief to his father, and what is he to his mom? Bitterness to her that bare him. You raise up a kid that has no respect for you, no respect for the things of God, that child will be a grief and a bitterness to you. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. What did we read earlier? Kids are supposed to give you rest and bring delight to your soul. But it all goes back to this. Look at the screen, Proverbs 10:1. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Parents, it is our job to teach our children to listen. It is our job to teach our kids to have a teachable spirit. How do they learn that? By parents who don't give them everything they want. Up on the screen, Proverbs 13:1 says, a wise son, what's the next word? Heareth his father's instruction. But a scorner heareth not rebuke. We don't want to raise up kids who won't listen. We don't want to raise up kids who are scorners. We want to raise up children who listen to dad. My son is 20 years old now. But I promise you, he's going to listen. He's going to respect what I say. But that started way, way back when he was a toddler. Let me tell you something. My son's taller than me, and mama's 5'1". He listens to mama. My son listens to his 5'1" mama. He towers over her. But when she says, he's like, yes, mother. That starts the way back when they're toddlers. Why is it he could whoop my wife. So how can a 5'1" mom at 20 years old, because he's still under the roof of our home, how can she still tell him things and him listen and respect what she says? It goes all the way back when he was a little child. In your handout, it says this, an important statement. It says, remember, parents, we only get one chance to raise our children. There's no do-overs. Sometimes I'm out in the street and I'm playing football with my kids. You know, we do it almost every day. We got tons of neighborhood kids. And they all come over and we get a football game going in the street. And I'm all-time quarterback. And I'm going back and I throw a pass. And one of the kids catch it. And they reach like this for the goal line. And of course, what happens? Touchdown! And the other team says, nah, we got you at the one. And then what do? I say, kids, I'm not really sure. Let's do it over. Let's have a do-over. And we do the play over. Did you know that when it comes to parenting, there's no do-overs? There's no second chances. They will either bring grief or joy to our hearts. I want you to look at two verses that are so insightful. Look with me. It's in your handout, okay? And I want you to notice the contrast to these two verses. The first one is Proverbs 17:21. It says, he that begetteth a fool doeth it to his sorrow, and the father of a fool hath no joy. But now look at the contrast to that. Proverbs 23:24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Let me ask you a question before you put your handout up. Do you think that Eli finally realized his mistakes? Yes or no? Yes, he did. But it was too what? It's too late. The boy's character had already been set and established. And you know, by the way, do you know how their story ended? Both these boys ended up dying premature deaths as young men. And you read this, and yeah, it's a sobering lesson for parents, but it's also a very important lesson, and it's a very beneficial lesson, and God put this text into the Bible for a reason. And I believe that one of the reasons why he put this in the Bible is to challenge us as parents to raise children that love the Lord and that are godly. And you can do it. Parents, you got the Lord inside of you if you're saved, and you got the ultimate guideline in how to do it. You got the Word of God. So you can raise godly children that love the Lord, but you got to follow the prescription here. You got to follow what God's Word says. You have to take personal responsibility for your child's spiritual training. You got to refuse the temptation to become a permissive parent and never, ever, ever lose your children's respect by indulging their every desire. Great lessons about child rearing from 1 Samuel 2 and 3. In this story of Eli. And my heart is that here at Crossroads, will have many, many children. I've been here 20 years. So I've already had the opportunity to see children grow up as babies, go through the children's ministries, go through the teen ministries, and then become a godly young man or woman. I've had a chance to see that already. And I can tell you, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the key to it is parents. It's parents. And if you drop the ball, don't you dare blame the youth group. Well, the youth group just didn't treat my child right. Oh, the youth group dropped the ball with my kid. No, no, no. Parents, you're to be the primary influence in your child's life. You are the one that's to provide the spiritual. We're just here to supplement. But the issue is you. And I know it's easy to pass the buck. It's easy to do that, but it's not right. You have to take the responsibility. Let's pray right now. Let's go to the Lord in prayer.